Joining us now, Hani Mustafa, a conservative activist, and Freddie Waters, the treasurer of the LSC Labor Students. Thanks so much for joining us. So, Freddie, the independent group is now the joint fourth biggest in Parliament. Do you think the group could have an impact on Brexit?
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I think really it won't have that much of an impact on Brexit. I don't think it'll have that much of an impact on Brexit because it's only 11 members so far. And I think really the question we need to be asking ourselves is about the impact of the Labour Party and whether or not they adopt their sort of campaigning for a second referendum, which could happen next week. I think that's a strong possibility. I mean, you have figures like John McDonnell, who today has said, and has regularly been saying, that he thinks the party is continuously moving towards that way. And I think really... Another question is about the rise of the Brexit Party, which currently has over 100,000 members, obviously has Farage in it, big names. And I think really it depends on about how that group, I would actually say that group is more important in sort of pushing the hard right version of Brexit and sort of that sentiment. And I think that will have a big, much, much greater impact than 11 MPs, who most of whom are basically quite backbench MPs who aren't that big figures.
Okay, and what about you, Hani? What do you think?
Good morning. Thanks for having good afternoon, even. Thanks for having me on. I think to somehow suggest that the impact of this, you know, won't have any impact on Brexit would be wrong. I think we're 5 weeks away from leaving the European Union. And if Theresa May, if she wants to be able to get a deal through the House of Commons, then she will ultimately have to speak to MPs in this new independent group about doing so. Otherwise, we leave with no deal. But I think it's quite interesting in a sense that we're seeing MPs who are joining this new independent group as only MPs who want another referendum. So I think it suggests to me that this is, you know, a bit more about politics in general, but more so about purely pursuing the aim of having another referendum.
Okay, and to continue on with you, Hani, what do you think the point of the group is, and what do you think it really stands for?
I mean, I think as I said, the main purpose of this group, ultimately, as it appears to me, is just to pursue having another referendum. I mean, I do struggle to see how MPs who are on both the Labour Party and the Conservative Party can, you know, really unite on issues other than this. The only issue that unites MPs in this party, well, in this block, is a second referendum, and I think that's very much what it is, a Remainers block.
Mm-hmm. And back to you, Freddie. So to you, is this situation fueled by Brexit, or do you think it's simply an outlet for those MPs who are unhappy with the state of their parties and that's why they joined?
Well, I mean, if you look at each individual MP, I mean, all of them are basically centrist MPs who are pro-second referendum. I'm not denying that most of them do want another referendum. And I think that basically the main reason why that these MPs have switched is because they don't like Corbyn. I mean, you look at sort of MPs like, say, Chuka Umner and Chris Leslie and Angela Smith. They've been people who have constantly and repeatedly gone against leadership in all forms. I mean, these are MPs who have tried to get rid of Corbyn, have criticised Corbyn constantly, and do not want Corbyn. They think that the party has gone too far to the left, and what they fundamentally want is a sort of different type of politics, which is more centralist. I don't really see the real... I think really... that what they stand for is centrist principles. I don't necessarily agree with this. I think one of the main issues with this party and the reason why this party will basically fail is because they don't seem to have any policies other than calling for a second referendum or criticising Corbyn. I think this is quite a short-sighted vision. I mean, if you look at something like the SDP, for instance, that had 28 MPs from both parties, I think it was mainly Labour, 23 of whom lost their seats in the 1983 election, which is the election afterwards, who were very good, who stood for proper values, proper principles. I mean, I disagree with them, and I don't think what they did was correct, but fundamentally, we have figures like Roy Jenkins, who's absolutely fantastic, who was the former President of the European Commission, the former Chancellor, former Home Secretary twice, and you compare it to somebody like Chuka Umner. I mean, these are people, you can't compare them. And they failed on a... ticket and on a value system that when they had values, and when you compare it to these MPs who left, they have basically got no policies. They don't really have very many shared values outside of broad centrist principles and a second referendum. I don't think it's fueled by Brexit. I think it's purely filled by hatred of Jeremy Corbyn and a complete again against his leadership and against left-wing values.
Okay, great. And Hani, just to finish off, what do you believe the outcome of a no-deal Brexit might be?
I think a no-deal Brexit is something that we should be particularly worried about. I acknowledge it will be difficult at first, and initially there will be a period where it will be very difficult as an adjustment phase. But I think ultimately our best days lie ahead outside the European Union when we're in control of what trade deals we're able to strike and what our trade policy is. Over the UK, we're able to implement a fair points-based immigration system where ultimately we the British people are in control of the decisions we make. I think the government, I'll put my hands up and admit the government should have put more effort into preparing for a no deal from the outset, but I think that's a reflection of the failure of all main political parties to really consider a no deal likely. But I think ultimately now we need to make sure we're as fully prepared as we can be, because we are leaving the European Union in 5 weeks' time, and if that is with no deal, then so be it.
I think this goes back to the Keynesian argument of in the long run we're dead. I mean, fundamentally, should no deal Brexit will be absolutely disastrous. You will have companies who are already doing no deal preparations, like Bank of England, who are leaving the country.
But we've had these economic conditions for a while. We're told, as soon as we have the referendum, that we'll have a recession.
No, I mean,
falling, and none of it's materialised. Only yesterday, the employment figures came out and said that we have record levels of employment. The deficit is down; it's continuing to fall. It's just scaremongering. I'm sorry, but it is. Though we've heard all these forecasts before, and none of it's materialised.
The problem is we haven't actually left the European Union yet. I mean, fundamentally, if you want to see the effects of Brexit, you have to wait till Brexit actually happens. If we leave No Deal Brexit... Can I just finish? Because I gave you a bit of time. Give you 2 bits of time. I think fundamentally, Brexit will be absolutely disastrous to the UK economy, especially a No Deal Brexit. I mean, every single figure and forecast has led to lower economic growth, higher unemployment, and less revenue for the Treasury. Can I just finish? Okay, well, fundamentally, if you raise tariffs, you were going to end up having less economic growth and higher cost of products. I mean, was it Sainsbury's who said that goods will go up by 20% of food produce? I mean, and if you have suppliers talking to people, for instance, at the port of Dover, I mean, fundamentally, it will completely clog up Kent and turn into a lorry park after a few days.
So can I just go back to you, Hani, just to finish up? So what do you think the future is for this group, and where do you think it's heading?
Well, I mean, I think in the short run, we'll see probably a few more defections. People, MPs who do want another referendum ultimately. But I think in the long run, I mean, I don't know what could possibly happen. It might turn into a political party. They might, whenever the next general election might be, the MPs might step down, or they might form another party. I mean, I don't know. But I think ultimately in the short run currently, and it's the reason why Ian Austin MP in the morning, who did resign from Labour but chose not to join the independent group, is because they are just a front for a second referendum, and it's as simple as that.
Okay, well, thank you both so much. That's all we have time for right now.